Grace and peace to you, and welcome to Faith Lutheran Church. My name is Candace Wassell. I'm the pastor here at Faith. It is such a joy to have you visit with us. You are welcome, so welcome in every part of Faith's community. You are welcome to join us in person at worship on Sundays. You're welcome to visit us online. You're welcome in our mission and our fellowship, and most important, you are welcome at the Lord's table. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, for it is this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." And Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Oh, grace to you and peace, excuse me, from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So as a season, Lent generally speaks to us as individuals. The focus is on your personal reflection, on your fasting that you might choose to do during this time. And each of us is meant to deal with our hearts as individuals, to take honest stock of where we are in this 40-day period, and then make the changes that we need to make in our life to get to where we need to be. But this Sunday, the text is speaking to us as a people. And so I'm going to shift gears for just today, away from you as a person working your way through Lent, to us as a people, as a church. The text is speaking to us as the body of Christ, but it is speaking to us from two very distinct viewpoints. And that is from the law and from the gospel. The law and the gospel. Now, if you grew up in the church, and especially if you grew up in a Lutheran church, you have certainly heard the law and the gospel. But if you haven't, you're in luck. I'm going to spell it all out for you. Now, the law and the gospel are what we consider the two essential ways that God speaks to us in the Bible. It's the way in which God's word relates to us. In the Old Testament reading, when God is talking about those covenants, that is the law. He is talking about the law that he gave to his people. And in the New Testament, when Jesus is talking in parables and he's talking about the grain that needs to fall to the earth and dies so that it bears much fruit, well, he is speaking about the gospel. These are two very distinct ways that God relates to us, but they're meant to go together like a dance. So if you will, for just a minute, picture two people on opposite ends of a dance floor, and they're waiting in silence for the music to start so that they can begin their routine. And as they wait, each one of those dance partners is thinking to themselves. One partner is wondering to himself about the other. Will she remember each step that we practice? Will she pay attention to the tiny details we've rehearsed? Will she be mindful of the counts? He thinks to himself, I hope that she will, because this dance is most beautiful when it's perfect. And on the other side of the dance floor, the other partner is wondering to herself about him. Is he going to feel the music? Is he going to allow himself to get carried away by this melody? Will he enjoy this moment that we have worked so hard for? And she thinks to herself, I hope he will, because this dance is most beautiful when it's graceful. That is the law and the gospel. God the Father speaks to us through laws with clear boundaries that keep us safe. They are the guardrails in life. It's about the details and the practice of faith. And you know these people in your life who just love this part of God. Entire Old Testament books are written simply as instructions on how we are to live, because creation is beautiful when it is right and holy. God the Son speaks to us through the gospel of forgiveness. It's about second chances and mending through mercy. It's about following God because you have seen what he did on the cross for you, and you respond in gratitude. Entire New Testament books are written about Jesus and all he does for us, because creation is beautiful when all are saved. The law and the gospel is a two-sided coin of our faith. But we have a problem as a people. We are meant to hold these two together in balance, to respond in gratitude to the gospel of Jesus by doing what? Following the law. But we don't always do that. Instead, we choose. We choose to stand on one side of the coin or the other, either all in the law or all in the gospel. And that problem is epitomized in our New Testament reading. Jesus speaks to God the Father about the cross that's coming, right? He's talking. He is talking out loud to God the Father. Cross is coming, and what should I do? Should I deny it? No. And those standing close by hear the Father speak back to him. But did you notice that not everyone hears the same thing? Teddy, if you'll go to the slide with the words. It's not helpful. There you go. Thanks, buddy. Let's read. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said, it's thunder. And others said, an angel has spoken to him. Big difference. Big difference. Thanks, Teddy. Some hear thunder. Some hear angels. And it tells you which side of the coin they're standing on. The sound of thunder is the law. It's that big, powerful God on the mountain whose voice is so powerful that it can etch laws into stone. We need that God to fight our battles. The sound of angels, though, that is the gospel. It's God in the manger, tender and mild, with a voice so loving we can't help but hold it close in our arms. We need that Lord, too. The problem is, neither of those groups standing near Jesus actually heard what God was saying, because they are so fiercely clinging to one side of God's word. And that is not just a problem for them, it is a problem for us. The voice of thunder is where a lot of churches are. Being faithful is about obedience, and the work of the church is to call out sin and get it right, even if it means excluding folks from the table. But just as many churches hear only the voice of angels, and being faithful is about love, which doesn't sound so bad. But overindulgent love is like a never-ending candy dish. It gets boring. I have a candy dish on my desk that's always filled with Hershey Kisses. And I've stopped eating it, but just the other day I went into Janet's office and sitting there on the edge was a little Giordano's square. So I ate it. Because it was different and new, and it was the only one she had, so obviously it meant I should have it. That's what overindulgent love does. It's easily ignorable, and so you want something else instead. You go looking around for another gospel. There's no sense of urgency in those churches. Everyone is saved, so what's the big hurry? There's no mission. And the tough part about all of this is that churches are not only dividing along law gospel lines, but we're dividing about political and social ones as well, creating ever increasingly distinct ideological silos. It's a problem. It's a problem. You know the churches in your life, you know the churches in our area, and you can point to them and say, you know what, if I feel this distinct way about this political identity, I can go here and know that I will be heard. It is a problem, though. Because what we really need to hear God's voice the way that Jesus hears God's voice in the gospel is to hold both the law and the gospel in balance, to simultaneously see both sides of the coin. So what is the answer? What's the best way to hold law and gospel in balance? Well, what's the best way to see both sides of a coin? Spin it. Spin it. Get moving. Stop standing there listening and start serving. If you keep reading in John, you'll see Jesus talk just a little bit more about what's going on, but then he moves right into washing disciples' feet. Now, what does that look like? What does that look like when a church tries to hold the law and the gospel in balance? When it spins the coin of faith? Well, my parents met at the age of 16 at Mr. Quick's Burgers and Shakes. Doesn't that sound like a 1970s joint? Mr. Quick's Burgers and Shakes on 23rd Avenue in Moline. They were both juniors in high school, and they met there, and they started dating. And a few months later, my mom became pregnant. And they were rightfully terrified. So Kevin and Barb, mom and dad, they decide, all right, this is going to be awful, so let's just get all our parents together and tell them at once. So they get my dad's parents, Grandpa Wendell, Grandma Ann, and they get my mom's mom, Grandma Mary, all together in the room, and they tell him. And it's regaled to me that my grandpa's reaction was instant anger. How did this happen? Okay. Well, he just yelled at both of them. Talk about the voice of thunder and judgment. Barb's mom, my grandma Mary, her reaction was the exact opposite. Total pity and tears and sympathy and oh my gosh, how are we going to get through this? But my grandma Ann, my saint, my dad's mom, her reaction was altogether different. She didn't say much. Instead, she went house hunting that week. And with the money she had saved from waitressing, that was apparently going to buy new wigs, she bought a tiny one-bedroom house across the street from the city park and handed the keys to my mom and dad. Somewhere along the lines, I am sure they paid rent, but it couldn't have been much. All that mattered was their first baby was born with a roof over her head. And my grandpa rightfully looked at the situation with anger, and my grandma Mary rightfully looked at it with pity. But my grandma Ann looked and saw a baby who needed a home. You know, Faith, we do not agree on all kinds of things. We don't agree on theological issues. We don't agree on political issues. We don't agree on international policy or economic approaches, on color schemes. We don't even agree on food. I found out a few weeks ago, some of you weirdos like coconut. And I am appalled. I'm not sure I can share space. But somewhere in our history, we said, yeah, we don't agree, but let's get these hungry people fed. We spun the coin. We got to serving. And I don't know how long any group of people can hold together in spite of differences, especially as our culture pushes us more and more to claim a tribal corner. But I know this, the closest I've ever felt to keeping God's law and gospel in balance is here, where we focused on spinning this coin and feeding people. And I think we stand a better chance of holding together in this divided world if we continue to spin as we figure it out. If we stay focused on feeding people, feeding little minds down there in our preschool tables, feeding souls at this table in here, and feeding bellies at those kitchen tables in the Faith Center. My Lenten prayer for God's people is to give us strength to spin this coin as long as we can and bless us to this holy work in the name of the one who will be risen. Amen. The most valuable message we have to share at Faith is the promise we have in Jesus. We come together every Sunday to share this good news in the reading of Scripture and sharing of Holy Communion. It is these two acts of worship that we learn of the forgiveness, peace, and joy that Jesus has won for us on the cross. These gifts also belong to you, and we hope you will feel welcome to receive them. After we've shared worship together, we trust that we are ready to be sent out into the world to serve our neighbor, and you're welcome to join us in that great work as well. There are so many opportunities at Faith to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. It's what we feel called to do. It's what we're passionate about. Above all, I want to encourage you in your faith. No matter where you're at in your journey with Christ, you are welcome to visit Faith as often as you are able. But whatever you do, keep searching. There is a church family set aside just for you, and I trust the Holy Spirit will place you right where you need to be.